Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio, and I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do every week on Thursday from 6 p.m. Eastern time to about 6:30, give or take. And it is a way to broaden the reach that we have with the kind of information that we originally published in our book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And so this is an opportunity for us to essentially dialogue with people who are listening or viewing the program. And the way that we dialogue with you is you can write us an email and we'll respond to you. And if you would like, and if you allow us to, we will share it. We'll share it at some point on this program. We will also share it on our Substack newsletter that will be coming out soon. We'll share what you wrote to us and our response. We only use first names, of course. Mm-hmm. And you can tell us, I don't want you to share it, in which case.
Or I want you to change my name. Or
you want us to be able to share pieces of it, but not all of it. We're very respectful to whatever suits your needs. But please understand that when you share your story, it can be really helpful to other people. We're hearing over and over and over again how very helpful it is to hear people's stories. And so it's always a gift to other people in terms of helping them to feel less alone and experience more solace. You can also write to us and suggest a topic, or you can suggest a guest, because periodically we have a guest on. We had a guest on last week. It was a really, really great discussion. And so you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. That's nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. The information I'm sharing, including our emails, as we get going, is all in the description that is attached to the program, whether you are seeing it live or whether you are seeing one of the replays, either on video or just the audio. You can support our work in a number of ways. That's described in the description as well. Also, this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society, which is located in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dakin does all kinds of programs for people and for their animals. It's a shelter service and adoption service. And one of the programs that they offer is a cost-free Zoom pet loss support meeting that I facilitate. It is usually on the second Tuesday of the month. It runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And you will find an RSVP link in the program description. I will advise you to please RSVP soon if you're going to attend, because we have lots of people who attend, and we do cut off the RSVP list roster at a certain point because we don't want it to be an overwhelming size meeting. But you can zoom in from anywhere in the world. People do. It's very interesting because we hear very different perspectives sometimes from people who are calling in from different places. And the next meeting is January 9th. And so please join us if you think that may be helpful. Also, please consider subscribing on YouTube, because when you do that, it affects the algorithm in the way that allows more people to gain access to the program. Also, if you find the program useful, please like it and maybe write a comment. All of that helps. Mm-hmm. And finally, we would like you to know that we have an affiliation with a great company. It's called Bereave. Bereave makes these really beautifully crafted granite plaques that you can use either as a marker outside, or you can use perhaps on a special table where you keep mementos from your beloved pet. And so it really is a great product. And if you purchase this product, you are also offering a measure of support to our program. Yes. And let's see. And so
Nancy, there's Bailey.
There's the sample that they sent us. It really is really substantial.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
So are we ready to go?
We are, yep.
Okay. So we have two stories tonight that are challenging stories. Yeah. I'm going to talk about Chris and his pancakes and Max. And I think, Ken, you're doing Tara and Crispin, if I'm not mistaken. So, but they're long, so I'm going to start right away, and then we'll have some discussion. This is Chris's. Dear Nancy and Ken, I wanted to tell you about my dog Pancakes, I love that name, that I lost on September 11th, 2023. Pancakes was born on March 17th, 2007. He was a Maltese Shih Tzu mix. At the time, I was married with no children, and my wife and I had long commutes to work, so I was not interested in owning a dog. My wife, Leanne, had grown up with dogs always in her life and said, I'm getting a puppy anyway. We received Pancakes in May of that year, and I instantly established a strong bond with him. He was very easy to train and was so happy to see us when we got home from work each day. Leanne passed away suddenly from congenital heart disease in 2010 at the age of 30. I was devastated. My life turned upside down, but Pancakes was there to provide love and comfort through that difficult time. Pancakes and I did everything together, especially running. He loved to run, and we ran at least 15, 20 miles a week. That's a lot for a little dog. We participated in multiple races over the years, including 5 and 10Ks. He ran seven-minute miles up to the age of 12. We also did a lot of snowshoeing, hiking, traveling together. For many years, we traveled to Vermont each weekend to stay at a ski house with friends. He loved riding in the car and had many four-legged friends there as well as human friends. I remarried in 2014. When I met my new wife, Jackie, she proclaimed herself not to be a dog person. However, as part of the package, she came with a daughter and I came with a dog. My stepdaughter and her instantly fell in love with Pancakes, as who could not resist his gentleness and unconditional love? We had a son, Kyle, born in 2016, and we were one happy family. As Pancakes grew older, he continued to thrive and age gracefully. We were very lucky in that he never had any major health issues and pretty much only had to go to the vet for only his regular annual visits and vaccines. It was not until several weeks prior to his death that he appeared to have some type of episode where he had trouble balancing and standing up after waking up in the morning. He did not appear to have a seizure or stroke, but after the episode, his appetite almost completely shut down. He always had a good appetite and was always looking for treats, but now refused them. I was able to get him to eat some table food for a few days, but he slowly started to refuse that. I brought him to the vet, and they could not find anything wrong. They could not find any indication of tumors and tested him for a UTI infection, but that came up negative. We went home with some medication to try to stimulate his appetite. He started eating some baby food, and I thought he was on his way to recovery, but he eventually refused that as well. We went back to the vet where they ran blood work and did an x-ray, but those did not reveal anything abnormal as well. The next alternative was to go to an emergency care facility to do an ultrasound to see if there was any other serious signs of illness such as cancer. Given his age and the cost, I was afraid that if the outcome was something serious, nothing could be done. For the next week, Pancakes refused to eat. He started to lose a lot of weight, and I begged him to eat each day, but he refused. He continued to drink water and go for short walks each day, but I became concerned about starvation. I did not want to watch him starve to death, but I was not sure I or he was ready to be put down, as he was still alert, walking, going to the bathroom normally. But I knew without food, the end result would not be good. I called the vet again to explain my concern about the eating. She prescribed a prednisone in a hope that if he had some inflammation in his stomach or digestive area, it would help alleviate that and bring his appetite back. But if that did not work, she advised he was too good a dog to let starve. And if an ultrasound at the urgent care clinic revealed something such as cancer, there was nothing that could be done at his age. We tried prednisone for several days. It was difficult to get Pancakes to swallow the pills. Normally, we would hide them in a pill pocket treat or some cheese, but that was not an option since he was not eating. We made the difficult decision to put Pancakes down after the next weekend if we could not get him to eat, since we could already start to feel his bones, and we could not bear to see him starve. The following Monday, September 11th, Pancakes, my wife, and I went to the vet. It was the saddest and most devastating day of my life. Before the procedure, the vet said, that as difficult of a time it is to do the euthanasia, it is better to do it sooner than before things got worse. I knew the pancakes would not live forever and our time on earth would come to an end. But given his great health over the years, I thought we would have at least a few more, maybe living to become one of the oldest dogs. Shortly after his death, I started looking into adopting a new dog. I knew that a new dog would not replace pancakes, but I wanted to continue to have the love and joy that a dog provides. We adopted a puppy, Max, a month after Pancake's death. He is a beautiful beagle mix that was rescued from the streets of Mississippi. After several days of bonding with Max, the reality of training a puppy and taking care of a young family started to set in. My son has developmental delays and special needs and has a fear of dogs. He was okay with Pancakes since he had been his entire life there, but scared of other dogs. He became used to Max quickly, but as with most playful pups, he became nervous and scared at times with Max if he tried to either jump on him or tried to give him play bites. I had a discussion with my wife and tried to come to a decision that adopting Max might have been too much to handle at this time. We decided that we needed to return Max to foster care. It was a difficult decision as I started to become attached to Max and wondered if I was not giving him enough of a chance. While handing him back over to the foster mother, I was crying uncontrollably. When I drove home, I kept thinking I made a terrible mistake and pulled over to call the foster mother and said I wanted to take him back. She asked me if I was sure that I could take a couple days to think it over. The next day, I had another discussion with the entire family, and we decided to bring Max back. This time, I was determined to make that relationship work and put in effort needed to make things work with Max and our family. During the next few weeks, we continued to bond with Max. I had taken him for several runs and hikes in the woods with my son, and everything seemed to be going great. The challenge was still trying to balance playtime with transition times with my son, getting up in the morning, going to school, coming home from school. During those times, my son often did not want to play with Max, and it became a little challenging to spend time with both of them while also making sure if there was any play biting so Kyle did not get hurt. I discussed my concern with active rough play between Max and Kyle with my wife and was worried that Kyle could get a bad bite, which would make him scared in his own home. But I still thought that I needed to stay consistent in my decision, making that this puppy phase is only for a short period. A few days ago in the morning before school, Max became very playful and started to jump and play by Kyle. Kyle became very upset, and I had to pull Max away as he almost bit Kyle near the face. I know that Max was only trying to play and was not a vicious dog, but my wife also saw the incident, and in that moment, we both agreed it was too much and reached out to the foster care again, explaining our concerns. It was not shortly after that I questioned my decision-making again and thought, am I overreacting? Am I just giving up too easily? How can I abandon such a beautiful puppy for a second time and not simply be persistent in my training and care for both Max and the family? My wife recognized that my decision-making has been too inconsistent, and she made the final decision to stick to surrendering Max back to the foster and focus our attention to the current needs of our children as well as our healing from the loss of Pancakes. Max returned to foster the next day to be considered for adoption. For me, this is a second loss within a month, and this one hurt even more than the loss of Pancakes. I feel that I not only let my family down with my bad and inconsistent decision-making, but I also let Max down. I know that he will go to a loving family, but I felt that we could have provided him an amazing life, just like we did with Pancakes. The past few days have been extremely depressing. I have been trying to stay busy with work and physical activities, but can't stop thinking about Max. The loss of Pancakes has been more difficult to know that Max is still here, to know that he is in heaven, but it's even more difficult to know that Max is still here on earth and I am not with him. My wife has explained that the pain will pass, and I'm trying to be present for her and our children, but it has been very hard, and I can't imagine how I can feel good about myself again. I'm embarrassed about my actions and fear that I'll never have the opportunity to adopt again. So thank you for his honesty, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
his ability to emotionalize this whole process of losing Pancakes to death and then losing Max because it just really just wasn't the right time.
It wasn't the right time, and it's so deliberate and careful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, you know, he's not abandoning Max. He's giving Max to a program where Max will almost certainly be adopted almost immediately.
Right. You
know, he's sweet, an insanely cute little puppy. And they get adopted really readily. And so he made a decision that was best for his family and I'm sure ultimately for Max, a very painful decision.
Sure.
But it's really, and I shouldn't say he and his wife together. And it sounds like she really was the one who said, you know, we have to be strong here. We have to be firm in our decision-making and this will be the right thing for everybody at this time. And so it's great that they work together on this.
Yes.
And it is, it's a compounded loss because
right.
he so very recently lost Pancakes.
You know, I have a person that I work with who, has a dog and got, now this isn't with a death, but has a dog and got a puppy. And the puppy and the dog she had just didn't get along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she ended up having to give the puppy away. She was lucky to give it to a family member, but she was devastated.
Sure.
She felt, well, how did I screw this up? Why did this happen? I mean, why couldn't I make it work?
Well, we bond with them so strongly, so quickly that it's very, very hard. But, you know, one of the things that I think is really instructive about this story is that it really does show how stressful a new puppy can be when you've already had the immense stress of a loss of the magnitude of Pancakes. And sometimes it's just not, as you mentioned, it's just not the right time.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very helpful, I think, that others hear this story because you just want to make sure. One of the things that we often say is you can always insert more time if you're mm-hmm. not sure. And here you have a situation where there's a foster system that's holding the puppy and this family. And so it's okay. You know, it's not like the puppy's going to be scarred by this. He was cared for lovingly, it sounds like, in foster care with this family, with Chris and his family, and now back in foster, probably in another family now, and adjusting to that.
You know, and it's interesting because I think that Chris obviously really felt so empty with not having Pancakes around, because that's how we feel. And so he thought, okay, you know, we can try to do this. But again, like you said, having a new puppy is very different than having an older dog.
Having a new puppy is stressful.
Yes.
They're very loving and incredibly fun in many ways, but they can be a huge amount of work and they can be really destructive and they're teething and they're nipping at you. And in this case, you have a child who has special needs and they made the right decision for everybody. For sure.
And we want to tell Chris, look, you know, you tried, this was a decision, and it sometimes our decisions don't work out. So we don't want him to feel so bad necessarily.
They
gave it a try, and because of the fact of it being a puppy and his kid and the things that his child was struggling with, it just unfortunately didn't work. But we can also understand he got attached to Max, right?
Sure.
So that created a double like grieving process.
And it seems pretty certain that when the time is right, Chris and his family will adopt either a puppy or an adult dog, and it'll go more smoothly.
Yes.
But they'll figure that out. They'll find the right time for that, and they'll provide a wonderful home, I'm sure.
Because they did for Pancakes.
They did for Pancakes. And they did for Max, too, as long as they had him. They fostered Max for a while, is the way I would think about it.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, Ken.
So we're going to now move to Tara and Crispin. And I just want to, we have a lot of pictures. So I'm going to try to show, this is Crispin.
Oh, he's, oh my God. Look at those eyes. Oh my goodness. Beautiful.
And this, I believe, is Crispin's friend Marvel.
Yeah.
Who is the family dog, a family dog. And that's Marvel when Marvel was little. I hope I'm getting this right. And there is Tara with Marvel. And so here's Crispin. So Crispin was very, very well loved. And the story is hard. So
yeah,
I'll let people brace up a little bit. Thank you so much for your podcast. I discovered it today, finding great comfort in listening to it. I wanted to share my story. It's fine if you wish to share it on your show. I'm a veterinarian and I also foster kittens for a local shelter. 4 years ago, I lost an entire litter of fosters to panleukopenia, except for a single survivor. Deprived of siblings and unable to bring in other kittens who might get exposed to the disease, he bonded instead with our youngest dog, and we decided for the first time to foster fail. I love that phrase, foster, yeah, and keep him. Crispin was the best cat we could have hoped for. He was an excellent mouser, an outgoing sweetheart who never met a stranger, and a constant companion with our youngest dog, Marvel. He was the dumbest cat I ever met, but that just made him even more endearing. He would stick his tongue out and drool when he was happy. He was a great comfort when we lost our oldest dog, Puzzle, this summer after a long illness. I was having a bad day at work on Tuesday morning and kept joking about just giving up and going home. On Tuesday night, I got home and went to start getting pet food and medicine ready. We have to lock up Crispin for this process, or he would steal the other pet's food and medicine. My husband realized abruptly that he hadn't seen Crispin since getting home, which was an immediate alarm bell. We searched every room of the house and eventually decided he must have slipped past our feet, coming or going, and gotten outside. We searched the yard and the surrounding yards, frantic with worry. We came back inside and decided to do one more sweep of the house. I noticed on this sweep a dog food bin stacked in the dining room. It was empty this morning, and I had propped the lid open next to it to remind myself to clean it. The lid had fallen down and closed the bin again. I knew with terrible certainty what I would find. Crispin was inside, dead. The lid was not fully airtight, unless screwed down tight, but it didn't let enough air in, and our boy had passed away inside. More terrible was that the bin was still upright and the lid only loosely in place. Had he fought to get out, he probably would have saved himself. But he was so used to getting stuck places and waiting for us to rescue him that he just settled in until he ran out of air. He was already cold and stiff when we found him, dead for hours. He probably crawled in to look for crumbs shortly after I left the house. The guilt and grief is devastating, hundreds of times worse than when we euthanized our dog in August. My head knows it was a freak accident, but my heart won't accept it. I'm mad at myself for leaving the lid propped where it could fall closed. I'm mad at myself for not going home when it felt like the universe was telling me to. I could have saved him had I found him that soon. I'm mad at Crispin for not fighting to free himself. I'm mad at myself irrationally for always jumping in to free him when he got stuck in places so that he felt sure I would come. In the immediate rush of grief, we didn't think about the dogs, only took Crispin in to clean his body and prepare him for cremation. Marvel has been worried since that night. He was checking the cat tree under the bed, on the couches and windowsills where his friend used to sit. He was softly whining at times and agitated. Today, I took him to view the body. He sniffed his friend deeply several times, sneezed, shook, displacement sniffed around the room. He then came back and sniffed again, licked Crispin a couple of times, and came over to nudge my hand for pets. Since returning home, he has been quiet and needy, but the agitation is gone. My heart is broken for him, but I'm so glad that he knows his best friend is gone. I think we sometimes forget that animals have real grief. The first night I screamed, I'm sorry, that animals have real grief after the loss of a companion and may need closure as much as we do. The first night, I screamed and sobbed for hours and could not sleep more than a few minutes before waking up screaming from the sight of Crispin's body so terribly still at the bottom of that bin. The usual rituals associated with preparing the dry food and to avoid opening... Yesterday, it would hit me in waves every hour or two. I fed my dogs canned food yesterday to avoid the usual rituals associated with preparing... Preparing the dry food and to avoid opening the remaining dog food bins. This morning, the simple act of opening the bin sent me into paralyzing, racking sobs. I know I'll make it through this, but for now, it's all consuming and relentless, and it's hard to see my way through this. Losing our oldest and youngest pets only 3 months apart has gutted me. Our second dog is 13 and having worsening mobility issues and pain, so I know his time is not far off. I fervently hope he can hang in for another year at least, as I cannot contemplate losing 3/4 of our pets in a year. The anxiety around Marvel is also unreal. He is 7 and healthy, but Crispin was also young and healthy. I have been having rolling panic attacks at the idea of losing Marvel as well. I'm trying to summon the strength to truly forgive myself. It will come in time, I think, but it's still a long way off. Thank you for your podcast and for what you do to help comfort those of us who have lost a pet. This is such a needed service and so kind of you, Tara. What a sad story.
Yes, and thank you, Tara, for allowing us to share this. And we all know, you and Ken, we've done a lot of talk around this, a lot of the emails we've gotten where there has just been a very tragic accident. And, you know, there was nothing that really Tara did wrong. You know, there was nothing. But
things happen.
Yeah.
These things happen.
It's
just something that is out, you know, certainly not expected, nothing we would never want to see happen, but they happen.
And then the guilt sets in, right? Tara's having a lot of guilt. And that's understandable because after the fact, you could say, oh, I should have done something with the bin, or I shouldn't have left that day, or I should have, you know, checked or not come home earlier. There were so many things that she believed would have, you know, kept him alive.
And Tara's a veterinarian.
I know.
I bring that out simply because I want to make it clear that we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We have heard so many stories about people backing over their pets.
Oh, I know.
Or in one way or another, being involved in some kind of accident or oversight that
their pet has died.
That contributes to their pet dying. And it's just, you know, we just have we just aren't in control of everything that happens in the world. And accidents happen, and they're not our fault.
All the time, unfortunately. And the Marvel thing, really. I mean, our pets do grieve our other pets. But this was particularly, you know, I thought very touching of Marvel.
Very moving.
Marvel had to make sure or know that you know, Crispin had died.
Yeah.
Right. And he still has issues around that. He's a little bit different.
Grieving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this little boy who was, you know, agitated and it couldn't find him. And then it was really good that Tara had him come and see Crispin.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's amazing, yeah, that our animals do. And now what Tara's going through is the hypervigilance around all of our other animals, right? Yep. Because once she's had two deaths, right, within a short time, and there's two more dogs and one is elderly, but then she said, well, Christmas was young. So, that's so common to have hypervigilance.
The
fears.
The trauma, it's kind of like a post-trauma.
Right.
That she has. It just that's very typical. We want to thank Tara and Chris for their honesty and vulnerability and sharing. We know that it will help other people. In fact, we have a comment that I'll show. This is from Grace Under Fire. Ken and Nancy, thank you for your work. Sharing these stories from other grieving parents has helped validate a lot of my feelings since the loss of my soulmate Gizmo on October
8th. Sorry, Grace.
Sorry, Grace, yeah.
Gizmo has died. Last at the end, though, here, look, Tara has said it's hard, but she knows she will be able to forgive herself in time.
Yep.
And we talk about that a lot with guilt. And we say, we can't take it away from you. But at some point in time, we hope that you can forgive yourself.
And it will lessen. It will lessen.
Yeah, it will lessen.
So thank you both very much, Nancy. As always, it's great having these conversations with you. And we also want to remind people, please do subscribe on YouTube if you find this program useful, and also check the like feature, and we appreciate that very much.
Mm-hmm. Take care, everyone.
We'll talk next week.
Mm-hmm.